Hello, Royals fans. Welcome once again to the podcast Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics here at EMU. And the first item of business this week is to apologize for not producing a podcast last week. As they sometimes say, we were having so much fun, we forgot what we were supposed to be doing.
Exactly.
It was an extremely, extremely busy week, and it has been long, long hours for most of the coaches and the support staff as well, as we've finally gotten things underway, and we sure would love to get a routine in place. And so first of all, our apologies if you were listening all the time. We are back on, and we'll make sure that we'll get one on every week as we go into the season. I'm joined again by James DeBoer, our Sports Information Director, and since we have an awful lot to cover, we're going to have to try to do it more in synopsis form than a lot of details. Hopefully you can get the details on the webpage if you want to know specifics about stats of a game or something like that, as all those are there. I'd like to begin with a couple of highlights that I want to call your attention to, maybe because of all the busyness that we had. There's a couple of new things for the athletic department, and they've taken some of our time as we've tried to get them rolling. One is that we are really pleased to have a intern from the Counseling Center working with us this year. Jason Lichty will be doing an internship, and he'll actually be here both semesters, Thursdays and Fridays. He'll be spending time in the athletic office, and he's been there already getting to know coaches, watching practices. He's available to any student athletes, and he really enjoys working with them. And so we spent some time. He's going to start meeting with freshmen to sort of ask about their decision-making process, about choosing EMU, and also about what their goals and some of how they see the athletics piece of their education happening here at EMU, and that'll give him a little bit of flavor of that. He'll help us with some of our senior exit interviews when we're finished. And we really hope that as we spend more time working with particularly freshman athletes on how the role of athletics changes in their life from high school to college, he can be a real resource for that. So we're very excited about that. If you are on our webpage, one of the other highlights that is new this year is a video interview with the head coach after each game. Maybe you want to say something a little bit about that, James.
Sure.
It's been good so far.
Yeah, after home games, we'll try to do it. Road games, we aren't doing because it's kind of impossible. But, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. We were just looking for more ways to get some more video on the website, and B, just to give a little more personalized splash to it. I mean, you know, I can write an article that say we won 2-0, we scored a goal in the 83rd and 87th minute, and it's pretty dry. But if you can throw in a little coach's interview, it gives you a little more personalized feel of the game, gives you a view of some of what went on through their eyes. It's been a lot of fun so far. It's pretty simple, just 2 or 3 questions, but we catch them right at the end of the game on the field. And I think it's given a really good insight to everything.
Well, I should mention we don't edit it either, so it's just
right.
Going to be something we put up there.
Right.
And I think the whole ESPN phenomena over the last 20 years has added to that, where if you think about it, while you're watching something, there's people talking about something going on, and your information is scrolling along the bottom, so you're getting it both ways. And so we just think it is something that while we watch the game, even if you were there, I know many people would, even if you're not really into the game, you'd certainly love to hear what the coach has to think
mm-hmm.
about it. So
mm-hmm.
We think it's a nice feature, and thanks very much for doing that. James has been doing them so far. We looked at maybe some work-study kids or an intern to possibly do that. Also this year, the freshman athletes are taking a 6-week class called Bridging the Gap, and Sue Kolb, our Assistant Athletic Director for Student Athlete Wellbeing, is taking charge of that. We will cover a lot of adjustments to college and to EMU, both from an academic standpoint, but we're going to focus a lot on the athletic piece as well. And I'm not going to get into that because you've heard me talk before, but we will highlight a few things down the road about the some of the nuances and some of the changes that will occur in their college life as it relates to athletics. Another new one is that the Loyal Royals has provided some funds for us to work with a strength and conditioning coach, and they have provided a sum of money that's being divided among all of the coaches. And nearly all of the teams are now working with Mike Martin, who was chosen as the outsourced our strength and conditioning to Mike, rather than hiring him as an employee, which we didn't have the funds for. And so they are starting with that, and that's going to be one of the key elements, I think, to performance, not performance enhancement. I wasn't going to go that route, but that's the one thing that, again, I don't think students quite understand is what it's going to take to prepare yourself nutritionally, sleep-wise, strength and conditioning, agility, all of those things. And they're going to pay some focused attention to it, because all through high school, you may have gone to the weight room a little bit, for the most part, you played the game. So that's a new piece that we're really excited about. Hopefully next week we'll be able to announce our men's volleyball coach. We had three interviews this past week, and we should be able to meet on Monday to make a decision. Hopefully we can announce that. But again, you have to make the decision, then make the offer and give them time to respond, et cetera, and all of that. So that's underway. But so that's been some of the really busyness and a lot of home games. So we're not going to recap each game, but what we'd like to do is, I think the last time we were together 2 weeks ago, we promised that we would have sort of season previews. So I think what we're going to do, James, is sort of run down sport by sport here in the fall. You can give whatever kind of a recap you'd like to, in terms of maybe a few comments about what you said in the preview, but also where they've been going so far, but without getting a lot of the specifics. So I think we actually started with cross country.
Yeah.
Was the very first event this year, which was – oh, no, I'm sorry. Let's jump to field hockey. We're about to go in order. Field hockey – I'm going to really blow the mess you up now.
Well, you're
going
to make me think. I got to keep this all in chronological order now.
Field hockey started at 4 o'clock last Friday afternoon here on our home turf.
Yes, they were the first athletic event, and it's been interesting for the field hockey team. They returned a lot of players from last year, but as the season got ready to start, I realized we lost a couple of other players for assorted reasons. So we had a few holes to fill, but we brought in some talented freshmen. So I think what'll be fun for the field hockey team is watching how the returners mix with these new players, because they're going to get on the field. And I think they looked pretty good last weekend. We did come out with a couple of losses, but one game was a 7-5 loss, a lot of goals being scored, a lot of heart being shown. They came back from a 2-goal deficit and tied it. Then we played the number 6 team in the nation the next day. So we were tired and playing one of the top teams in the nation, and we had them tied up at 2-2 in the second half. So they looked pretty good. Two really tough opponents, which is something that Coach Brenda Beckler does a lot of anyway. Out of conference, man, she packs that schedule, the non-conference schedule, with some hard opponents. So they are 0-2, but I think they look pretty good, and you always have to remember who they're playing. So should be fun for them. They're on the road this weekend tonight, actually, at Johns Hopkins. We return home next week. So it'll be fun to see how they shape up with the non-conference as the conference schedule approaches.
Later on that afternoon on Friday, and we should mention last Friday was 95 degrees or something like that, and high humidity as well.
Well, we got ready for the game to start, and one of the officials said, we're going to take breaks in the middle of each half, so just let me know about that. And I was caught unaware by that. But our trainers had decided it was so hot last Friday that in the middle of each half, we would just have an official's timeout and everyone could go get some water.
Yeah, that was very wise on their part. Right after that, I took off from here and went over there. We hosted our first cross-country meet in about 3 years. Mm-hmm. We don't have a course on campus, but it was at Peakview Elementary. We are hosting the ODAC Championship at the end of October, and whoever hosts it also does a preview meet. So we did that as well. I was there, and that was an extremely hot day, but I'll still let you report on it.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it seemed like a lot of fun. I wish I could have been there.
Well, but you'll be there at the championship game.
Yes,
trust me.
I will. But on the women's race was first, right? So we'll stick with
the
women's race.
No, men were first.
We better stick with chronological. So men first. And pretty solid race. Dan Nafsinger, of course, is a name that everyone's familiar with, went to nationals last year. He finished third at the preview meet. Pretty solid finish for beginning of the year. As a team, I forget exactly where they finished.
Sixth.
So it was one spot above where they were picked in the preseason poll. Pretty respectable, especially Carlos Oriana. I never know how to say these new people's last names, but Spotswood runner, actually, local guy. He wasn't feeling too well at the race, so he finished, I think, somewhere around 20th.
He also finished in his stocking feet because his shoes were hurting him. He came by and saw he's running his stocking feet.
Well, there's another reason to finish slower. As he gets healthy and keeps the shoes on, he will finish. He will finish much higher, I think. And so the guys had a pretty solid showing.
Yeah, they did.
Then on the girls' side, a surprise for people around the conference. I don't know if Coach Lukowitz was too surprised by it.
I don't think so.
But we had a freshman in her first collegiate race win the ODAC preview meet, which is pretty impressive. Most of the ODAC teams there, not quite all, but most of them were there, and most of their runners were running. And she had Hannah Chapel Dick. What an incredible race. She was leading late, got passed with about 200 meters left by last year's runner-up at the ODAC Championship meet, got passed. Then with about 30 meters left, passed her up and won by 2 seconds. And that so rarely happens that you get passing that much in the final meters. She also had the best time ever for an EMU woman on the course out there, which is a tough course.
It is a very tough
course. So that's a lot to say for a freshman runner. So she won the meet. As a team, we finished second. Very impressive for the team that was picked seventh, also right. in the preseason poll. So they should surprise some people. Then this following week, as it started, the first ODAC Player of the Week awards came out, and Hannah was picked as right. the Women's Cross Country sure. Athlete of the Week as well.
Yeah, I was at that race. It was very exciting. I want to give kudos out to the medical staff. We did have a runner from Emory and Henry who suffered a heat stroke during that time, and Mike just did an incredible job out there with the ambulance staff as well, putting him in an ice bath and taking care of it. And we actually had one of our female runners also quit partway through. So, you know, basically not having enough to score last year to mm-hmm. winning it and coming in second is really phenomenal. So mm-hmm. We're looking forward to them. They're headed, I think, to Lebanon Valley College yes. this weekend. Head up there. And I think everybody is an extremely, extremely difficult course. Mm-hmm. And I think Dan felt very good about where he was. He'll build himself up and be ready yeah. if we come on through. Then we came back that night to the field and had women's soccer game
women's
in the
soccer.
Evening.
Yeah, and that – there was another unknown. I think this year it just seemed like most of the teams were full of unknowns for right. different reasons. But women's soccer, they returned a total of two players, kind of three. Nora Osei had played a couple of games last year before focusing on basketball. So they returned, we'll say, three players. One had played two games. Jenny Beck, the goalie, broke her jaw in a scrimmage, and she's out for the year. So we're down to one full returner, Naomi Good, as a defender. So a ton of new faces on the women's team. And they looked pretty good. They gave up goals to Gallaudet, but then they would equalize each time, and we came out with a 3-2 victory. So a great way for the women to start there. They also played Karen earlier this week and had a 2-0 shutout victory in that one. So our young women already 2-0 is a lot of excitement, and the team looks good together this year. Mm-hmm. And we had three wins last year. We got two already. It's pretty exciting, yeah. I think.
Well, again, and we'll talk about this. We've talked about this other times. You mentioned Brenda Beckler's choice of a non-conference schedule to yeah. really test the waters. And I think Sue Call, women's soccer coach, took a little bit of the other approach and said,
yeah.
very young team, got to have some confidence builders. And so didn't schedule quite as tough in the preseason, but it certainly has helped them mm-hmm. Get off to a good start. So they were all at home. Men's soccer was the next day. They were away up at Mary Washington. Give us a little recap of that.
Sure. They played two matches over the weekend against Marymount and Mary Washington. They came out with a tie and a 1-0 loss. So close games. But again, there's so many unknowns with that team. They returned two starters out of 11 starters from last year. So a lot of changes on the men's soccer side. And they played at home Wednesday night as well, taking on Karen. Also had a 2-0 victory. And what I saw a lot of in there is Roger Mass not afraid to go deep. He's got a huge roster this mm-hmm. year, but he's got a talented roster this mm-hmm. year. And so he can put a lot of guys in. The talent level doesn't drop a whole lot. And so I think the depth is certainly going to help us. It was a lot of fun. The, mm-hmm. the offense last year, not to say it negatively, but maybe Mitchell Leap scored a bunch of goals. Right. And so he was the go-to guy. We don't have a go-to guy per se this year, and so the offense is looking a little different, and there's a lot of guys that can score this year, a lot of new faces, a couple of faces you might remember from last year. And it's fun to watch them play and score.
Well, they certainly lost a lot, but to see them come yeah. out now, the depth is really phenomenal. You start mm-hmm. with about 40 players, got that down. He's going to carry around 30, mm-hmm. travel with it a little bit less than that. But well, we were trying to stay in chronological order, and we screwed it up right from the very start because women's volleyball was on the road, and they started somewhere
on Friday. I thought so.
They were at a tournament. Give us a little rundown on women's volleyball.
Sure. They were up in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, played four matches last weekend, and again, a bunch of new faces on there and a new coach who, you know, hadn't even seen his players play until preseason. So a lot of newness going on there. And I think one thing we thought about the team before the season started is still, for the most part, true. Sarah Ritchie is our go-to person. She takes a ton of swings every game, and we're still trying to figure out some of the other arms who do the attacks, and we're seeing some of the new players starting to fill in roles, and they'll get, you know, 8-10 kills a game, but Sarah kind of leads the way. But something that we're definitely seeing, well, they went 1-3 at this tournament, and the surprise was in the win. It was a 5-set match, but we had a player tie the program record for digs in a game, mm-hmm. Or digs in a match technically, which is kind of crazy because the record was set back in the old days with the other system of scoring where you only got a point when you served. Well, now we have rally scoring. And so what that effectively does is makes matches go less serves, less plays. So a lot of these match records, we just kind of figure we're never going to touch them.
Right.
Well, she had 44. Katie Miller had 44 digs in a five-game match. Pretty crazy. I mean, I sent the file off to the ODAC office, and the ODAC SID emails me back, and he said, "Are you sure that 44 digs seems awful high?" And I said, "I know. I checked with Coach. I thought it seemed high, too." And I think we're going to see a lot of that this year. The defensive net play isn't quite as strong for us this year. And so we're going to see less blocking, therefore more chances for digs. And so we'll see our back row players pick up a few more digs than normal. But Katie Miller, a really good back row player, 44 digs. They played at McDaniel the other night, and she was somewhere in the 30s again. She's averaging between 5 and 6 a digs per game, which was really good.
I think talking to Coach Tyson, I think the defense at the net's going to improve.
Yeah.
Two of the taller players that joined were soccer players who played high school volleyball, so they're still getting back into the swing of it, and that may be a little bit in there. So, yeah, there certainly is a lot of excitement. And then I forgot to mention the other thing that's really been happening is, of course, all the winter and spring sports are getting ready for their either non-traditional seasons or open gyms or all of that. And so it's just been one furious madhouse around the athletic office, getting everything underway, NCAA forms being
and golf.
Well, they haven't started yet, so we haven't been right there, but they started practice this week. Do you have any update from them?
I don't have a ton of updates, but I believe it's next weekend, a week and a half away, that the men will open up, and that'll be the first golf meet in EMU history. Excited for that. Last I talked with Wendell Eberle, the coach, he had 9 guys on the roster, 2 women on the roster. So the guys' team has rounded out to a full scoring team. I'm just excited to see how things shape out there. And the guys will be opening. I guess it's not a huge spectator sport, but they are opening here in Harrisonburg at the Lakeview Golf Course.
So. I would imagine if you're really a golf fan, if you're a parent, you're probably going to walk it. I don't know.
Probably.
But no, we are excited about it. David Johns, a professional at Heritage Oaks, is spending this week with them, covering all the different details because he's going next week. And so then they'll give him something to work at. So we are excited about it. It will be, again, it's play 5, score 4. So there's going to be some competition among the team even to find those who are going to go on at that point. So, well, that's a very hurried account of what's been going on. We will be more systematic in what we're doing as we continue. We will again look to every Friday afternoon being able to post a podcast for you to give you an update. But once again, I certainly would encourage you to stay in tune with the webpage. Make sure you follow what's been going on. If you have any suggestions or ideas, I think we should probably mention here that in case you are one who has been still dialing in on the telephone to find the scores of the game, we are going to cut that out this year since we realize it may affect a couple of people, but we do feel like you've got everything right there. Most people have a phone with some kind of a plan that you can get it to right away. You can go on the webpage and find my cell phone. If you really need to know a score, you can call my cell phone and I might know it. But anyway, thanks for joining us this week. We are extremely excited. The final comment I'll make is the other thing that has really added to our busyness is the fact that we have increased our number of athletes by 50 this year over last year. 45% of the freshman class that came in are athletes. And so that's one of the things that we are really excited about, but certainly a whole lot more people create a lot more work. And I just got the bill for feeding all of the fall sport athletes for a whole week before preseason started, and it was noticeable. So, but to have that many more people interested in our athletic program is just really, really exciting. And we had a great Royals night in which we introduced that and got things going. Mm-hmm. Good positive spirit. We just hope we can keep it going. Certainly solicit your prayers and your support in whatever way you can. Make sure you come out if you're in the local area to see us. If not, follow us online, give us a call, and make sure that you know what's happening with Royals Sports. Once again, thanks for joining us. Until we meet again next week, I invite you to make it a great week.